T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Looking for James. He's got it. Coming to the end of the third quarter. LeBron James, a shot at history. LeBron stands alone. The NBA's all-time scoring record now belongs to LeBron James. What was once thought as an unbreakable record has just been broken by 38-year-old LeBron James.
I didn't address this earlier. That was LeBron setting the scoring record that we're well established on. Nobody on this show cares about. Jones, Mego, and Arcan here on WEEI. It's hour number 3 as we take you up until 6 o'clock on a Wednesday. Did no one ever think that was going to be broken? Like, was that one of those records where I was like, oh, no one's ever going to break
Kareem's record.
Scoring record? Like, who said that?
I don't remember hearing a ton of that. No.
I feel like 5 years ago, people started saying LeBron could break this record.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I mean,
the three-point era, surely no one can touch this record.
Karl Malone, like, almost broke it, right? Like, where did he finish?
Fourth, I think.
Yeah, like, he's in the top five, Malone, and we're like, oh, if Malone got close, but it'll never be broken.
Malone's third.
Who said that? Yeah. Nobody said that. So, I don't care about the scoring record. I didn't stay up for it last night. Mego, I know you didn't either. Arcan, you did?
Bet your ass.
Why? Is it because you
were
just...
The game never stops, man. That's why.
Is it because you were just up and you have a 9-month-old at home? Or did you want to see it?
I was watching the rebuttal to the State of the Union.
Yes, I was watching, Huckabee
Sanders. The response?
Sanders. No, I watched the State of the Union, and then there wasn't any other, there wasn't much else on. So I watched that, and then after it was over, I switched over to the game, and I think LeBron was like 10 points away at that point.
Yeah, when I flipped over. So look, I don't care about the record. I don't. And here is again why. Kareem had it. No one's like, oh, Kareem's the greatest player of all time. Kareem's an all-time great, not the greatest of all time. We discussed this earlier. It's LeBron or Jordan. It's not LeBron, Jordan, Bird, LeBron, Jordan, Bird, Magic, in whatever order. It's LeBron or Jordan.
I'm surprised you're not bringing up Wilt. The way that you're talking about the records you care about.
I like the 100-point game. I do.
I know you do.
I like that he averaged 50 points a game for a season.
He seems more of your era of
sports. I do like all of that.
How Russell owned him his whole career?
I know. I love that, too, that Russell just owned him. It's like Wilt never won championships. Like, Wilt has multiple championships, but Russell was on some stats.
That's an all-time record.
And again, you know, Bill Russell, sorry, not in the discussion with LeBron and Michael Jordan. Sorry if that hurts your feelings,
but you like championships best.
I do. I like them when, you know, it was a competitive league and a real league. And I'm sorry, I'm not sure that the 1960s necessarily count when it comes to that.
Come on, the Minneapolis Lakers were a force.
I'm not sure. I feel like those championships carry the same weight. Just like you're down on the bubble championship. The bubble championship should carry a lot more weight than like 5 in the 60s.
I agree with that.
Or like 8 in the 60s.
I do agree with that. Yeah. I do think history is important for the evolution of the game.
Yeah.
So it's important, you know, a 100-point game.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Russell's an all-time great, but just like Kareem's an all-time great. But Russell ain't number one, just like Kareem ain't number one. And this is why I guess I don't care about the scoring title or the all-time scoring record, because it changed nothing for me. I already thought LeBron was 2 and Jordan was 1 going into last night, and nothing changed for me.
How much of that do you think has to do with our ages, though? Growing up with Michael Jordan, I wonder if you, we're a little bit different ages. I know you like to pretend like we're the same age.
Yep.
And Arcan is like 15 years older than both of
us. Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So, but if we had someone on here who's 23, 24, do you think they'd be sitting there like, oh, LeBron can't sniff Michael's jock?
Oh, no. I'm personally not saying that, by the way. I'm just saying LeBron's
weird,
still.
That's what you said to me off air.
I'm saying LeBron's too. But I think he can catch Jordan. And I said earlier, I think if he catches Jordan and they both have six, I give LeBron the tiebreaker.
It's so weird to me that you think it's more impressive that LeBron bounces around to different franchises.
Well, he won with different guys.
That's more impressive
than entirely consistent, because I say the same thing about Brady leaving New England. It legitimized Tom Brady. And Brady went and played with some talented guys, but I think it legitimized Brady because he won without Bill. I mean, LeBron won without Kyrie. He won without Kevin Love. He won without Dwayne Wade. He won without Chris Bosh. He won without Anthony Davis. And he won with all those
guys.
He
won with all other top 10 players at their time.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan won with a top 10 player at his time.
With Scottie?
Yeah.
And then who else?
No, I'm saying he won with another top 10 player.
I feel like the only one that is really comparable to the Jordan championships in my mind is 2016.
And we're talking, when you say top 10, not top 10 all time, top 10 of their era.
Of their era. Yeah, like current top 10 players.
Ask your question again.
So did LeBron, I'm getting twisted on my words right now. Did LeBron ever win a championship without ever having a current at that time top 10 teammate with him?
No, probably not.
No.
Probably not.
I mean, you could argue with that Cleveland team.
But again,
Kevin Love, he like stripped down emotionally.
Did Jordan?
Jordan had, he basically had Scottie with him.
No, I know.
And then it was a bunch of guys that he was emotionally harassing into winning championships.
Pippen wasn't always top 10, but by the end, he definitely was. And Pippen's an all-time great player, so I just wouldn't take that away from Jordan's great, obviously. I have Jordan above LeBron. But if LeBron catches them, they both have six. I give LeBron credit for bouncing around and winning different places
and winning, following him around.
Jordan went to the Wizards and didn't win squat.
Right. Okay, he was very old.
So was LeBron. LeBron won 2 years ago. LeBron won 2 years ago? Was he older than Jordan?
Probably. Because Jordan, when he was on the Wizards, I think was 36. So it was probably almost exactly that.
Yeah, but did LeBron ever play baseball? Don't think so.
So anyway, I really don't want to get sidetracked by LeBron and Jordan. I don't want to get sidetracked by that. The question is, do you care about the scoring record? Mego, your answer, no.
I really don't. I don't. It's kind of nice, I think, because LeBron has spent his entire life, it seems like, idolizing Jordan and chasing Jordan. And so this is one stat mark that if you're a LeBron person, I'm not a huge LeBron fan, but I don't hate LeBron. But if you want to back up yourself in this argument, you can point to this concrete stat and say he has the most points. He passed Kareem. Jordan never got there, and he never will, so LeBron's better. I don't subscribe to that, but at least it's a talking point for some of the LeBron people. Arcan, do you care about it at all since you watched it?
Jordan, by the way, was older in Washington. Not by much, but he was 37, 38
in
Washington. You do care?
I do care about it.
Didn't I ask him this earlier and he didn't care?
About LeBron in the chat. I said I cared about it.
He cared enough to watch it.
I said I watched it, and I said that I thought the longevity of it and Kareem and all that stuff I talked about. Did you listen to anything I said?
No, I guess not. I guess you didn't. I thought you didn't care.
No, I do care.
Huh.
I care about this. And the reason why I care about it is partially because back in 2003, me and my dear friend Brian Scalabrine watched LeBron James at UMass Boston in the Summer League. And I remember, I tweeted this last night, I remember watching him and thinking at the time, man, there's no way this guy's going to be as good as everyone says. Because for 3 or 4 years leading into that, like the 99, 2000, 01 drafts were really bad. That was like the Yao Ming draft, and like, you know, I think Olowokandi was one of those years, and Kwame Brown and those guys, like they had some really, really bad drafts. So I thought, is LeBron going to be really good, or is he just better than these other guys they've drafted lately? And now here he is all this time later, he's the all-time scoring leader. Like that, with that kind of hype at that age, to have the career that he's had, I think is substantial.
Okay, would you feel, Arcan, really quick, would you feel differently about him if he wasn't the all-time scoring leader? Would you be like, wow, LeBron really let me down?
Right.
No, but the fact that he's the all-time scoring leader, I'd say, is significant.
I don't think it's that significant.
Of course it is.
617-779-7937. Do you agree with Arcan? I misinterpreted earlier, Arcan, or I wasn't listening very closely. My mistake. I thought we all poo-pooed this record. Arcan loved it. I knew you stayed up and watched it. I didn't realize that because you saw him at UMass Boston, you're such a big fan. You can weigh in again. It changes nothing for me. It changes nothing. And I guess here's why I thought you didn't care, because you're one of the people tying it in with Bill Belichick. and his wins record. I thought you were mocking the idea that they lost the game last night, and I thought you were mocking the idea that they're 13th in the West. I thought you said you didn't care about the record. So I made the mistake there.
Maybe he's evolved in his thinking in the last 2 hours.
But that's what it seems. But Bill Belichick and his wins record, I find it hard to take LeBron and the scoring record seriously if I'm not taking the Bill wins record seriously.
Well, I can tell you right now.
Which I'm not.
I can tell you right now why it's easy to do that, because LeBron James is still playing at an MVP level. But his team's not good, but he's still playing well. If Bill Belichick's team's not good, he's not good. You see what I mean? Like, if he struggles to get to 7 or 8 wins for the next 3 years in order to break this record, he's a bad coach. His team's bad and he's bad. You know, that's different from LeBron playing at an MVP level and his team not being good.
LeBron's in 13th in the West.
Right, but he's playing at an MVP level.
I guess. I mean, that's true, but Bill's certainly no longer has his fastball. I'm not sure Bill ever even had a fastball that wasn't related to Tom Brady. But I do think when your team is at the bottom of the Western Conference, it's very similar to what we're talking about with Bill Belichick. And I want to give credit again to our pal Matt, who tweeted this in last night, at Jones, WEEI. And, you know, he said the LeBron thing is so similar to Bill Belichick and his death mark to the wins record. He said the LeBron scoring record tonight is what Bill's wins record will look like in 3 years. 13th place team, the only highlight of that Patriots season. And I think it's a perfect analogy. I do. I don't care about Bill's wins record. Bill getting the wins record won't change anything for me. I won't say, oh, now he has the wins record, I have to put him at the top of the heap. Like, I care about Bill winning another Super Bowl a million times more than I care about his wins record. And I would care about LeBron winning a championship so much more than his scoring record. So that's why I, at the end of the day, don't care. I wasn't even bothered to stay up for it last night.
I agree in the sense that I don't give a damn about the Shulo record. Who does? I would love to hear from fans who are dying to see Belichick get that record, if it actually emotionally appeals to
you. I don't really think fans do.
Because it doesn't appeal to me as somebody from the outside.
I don't really think anybody not named Bill Belichick cares about it. I logically understand
why he wants it, but I don't really care about seeing him get it or not. In the moment, I'll probably go, hey, that's nice. That's cool. Hopefully you'll be in a moment of an 11-win season and not a 6-win season.
But it doesn't change
anything.
And then
a 7-win season, it doesn't. I will argue, though, it's not a perfect comparison, which bothers me, because to the point of what you guys were just talking about, having the coaching record,
every comparison,
a win
doesn't
record,
have to be perfect.
You just said it was a perfect comparison.
Well, it doesn't have to be perfect.
You said it was perfect.
It's in the ballpark.
It's not perfect.
I think it's pretty perfect, but if you want to nitpick it,
perfect,
go ahead.
Would be like Brady touchdowns.
Yeah.
Touchdown passes.
It would be more individual related than team related. But I guess it's a perfect analogy in that it won't change anything for me. And people are acting like it changes LeBron's legacy. Nothing changed with LeBron last night. Nothing. LeBron winning a 6 might change. He might go to the top of the heap. For me, he would go to the top of the heap. He wouldn't for you?
No.
He wouldn't for you?
No, I think he would.
Okay, he would. Okay,
sounds
good.
Like he's already there
All of a sudden,
Arcan in the last 10 minutes became this
Jordan
like huge
though.
LeBron
he's
evolved, guy.
He's evolved
Don't
quite a bit. That's
like
true.
That?
I 100%
all of a sudden,
do.
He's like LeBron.
I saw him in the other room with the chalk throwing it up in the air like,
we are all witnesses.
So just real quick. Arcan and I both say if he wins a championship, he'd pass Jordan. How does he pass Jordan for you? Can he pass Jordan?
I don't think he can. To me, it's like I'm on the polar opposite of where you stand with him bouncing around.
He can't catch him.
The longevity is the most impressive thing to me. The way that he takes care of his body and he's been able to maintain this level of play this late in his career and the minutes that he has. Crazy. Absolutely very impressive. Definitely still number two. He's Deuce.
He is, as Thomas Dimitroff would say, the Deuce backing up the number one. How did he put that again? He's the Deuce following the number one.
Whether you're thinking about trying to get a Deuce.
That's LeBron. We're all thinking about
behind
it.
Your number one.
We all have LeBron, the Deuce, behind number one Michael Jordan now. But I'm not saying LeBron can't catch him, and it's definitely close.
I've dropped LeBron to Deuce.
617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback on this. We have Brian Scalabrine standing by. About 15 minutes from now, we'll get his thoughts on all of it, as well as the Celtics at the trade deadline. That's after Trending with Christian Arkin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We are back to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
After this year, if they make another run and they still can't get it done, then I think you start to have the conversation of what it looks like moving forward. But the way that they're playing this season, after going into the season not knowing what to expect, having a new coach, running it back after a disappointing finals run, they've been incredible. So I don't see even logistically how you break them up, considering what you would have to do if KD even wants to leave Brooklyn and if Brooklyn is even willing to do that. Because keep in mind, that's Brooklyn's competition. So if they're going to make a trade with them, they're going to wax them. And there's no way that the Celtics are going to do that.
Joy Taylor on First Things First on FS1. I like that point from Joy Taylor. It brushes up against something we talked about on Monday, which is, all right, fine. The Celtics and Nets don't have to trade Kevin Durant for Jaylen Brown by tomorrow's deadline. And we're less than 24 hours away from the NBA trade deadline tomorrow afternoon. We have Brian Scalabrini of NBC Sports Boston. He'll join us less than 10 minutes from now at 4:30, as he does each and every Wednesday here on WEEI. I like that discussion, though, where, okay, fine. So you don't have to do it now at the trade deadline. That would be a bold, spicy move, as we talked about, Mego. What if the Celtics come up short again? What if they look like the Phoenix Suns from last year? Phoenix was in the NBA Finals. They were bouncing the second round by Luka last year. They were the best team in the regular season in the NBA last year, and they didn't follow up their NBA Finals appearance with a championship. I bet a lot of Suns fans expected you go to the Finals, you win the next year, just like Celtics fans expect you go to the Finals, you win the next year. Suns didn't do that. Now the Suns are offering Chris Paul for Kevin Durant. Could the Celtics be in that same boat if they don't win a championship this year? In other words, tomorrow's not the deadline. They could revisit this in the offseason, and Durant could still be on the table coming to Boston in the offseason. Should that be on the table?
If the Celtics
come up short.
So, yeah, if they come up short, to me, again, it always depends on why they come up short, and we're this is very vague waters to walk into. I almost feel like, though, the obvious move to look at would be the coach. And I know there's plenty of people who don't think that NBA coaching matters. But before looking at breaking up Jaylen and Jason, a conversation that we've had on and off for years now, and I've never really been a proponent of breaking them up, if they come up short again, I would look at the coach, because we've seen this team have major success with the coach who could fix deep-rooted chemistry problems among these guys who have played together for years and been through stuff for years and are still very young. So, look, I think it would, to me, before going to Durant, it would have to be something like that.
Yeah, and look, Mazzulla, if they lose in the second round, right, to play out the Suns analogy, Mazzulla's job should be up for debate. Doesn't mean he loses the job, but his job should be up for debate. If they come up short from where they were a year ago, and it's basically the same roster, maybe even a better roster with Malcolm Brogdon, who do you look at? I mean, you can look at the players, and I would definitely look at the players, but the coach would have to be a part of that. 617-779-7937. We have Scal joining us about 5 minutes from now. Let's get to some phone calls. Kevin is up in Maine. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Hey, I just wanted to chime in and say I think LeBron is already there in terms of being a greater all-time NBA player than Michael Jordan. I think what's all said and done, you're going to see LeBron play about 8 or 9 seasons on top of what MJ had. He's already the points leader, which I do think is a significant milestone. He's also going to be far and away ahead of him in terms of all-time assists, rebounds. And I think the era that MJ played in had lesser competition than what LeBron has been going up against his entire career.
Well,
so all of those reasons, LeBron,
I think that's happened a little bit. I think that's happened a little bit. The NBA now is very good in terms of competition for LeBron.
Super deep talent right now. It hasn't been like that throughout all of LeBron's career.
And Jordan started with a very I think you're going to have people's ears burning when they hear that. Like, what about the Celtics? What about the Pistons? And
he
like,
never even played in the hand-checking era.
He was a force.
Jordan's career started in a deep NBA.
Actually, I think he did.
But
sorry,
by the mid-90s, the NBA stunk. The NBA stunk. I liked it. Aesthetically, I liked it as a kid. I enjoyed those Sonics teams.
You're really talking about my childhood right
Kemp
now.
And Payton. No. But we can also take a step back and go, that was not the strongest decade for the NBA. I love the 90s NBA. But despite me enjoying it and being nostalgic about it, it was not a good era for the sport. And so I do think there's something to be said about that. LeBron has the Golden State Warriors to deal with and the San Antonio Spurs to deal with and, you know, the Boston Celtics early on in his career to deal with. And I don't know that Jordan consistently had that sort of competition. Let me give you one more number from our buddy John, who tweeted this in, at Jones WEEI. In game-tying go-ahead field goals with under 10 seconds left in the postseason, LeBron is 12 for 23 in his career. That's 52%. That's better than Jordan. 7 out of 15, 47%. It's better than Kobe. It's only 5 out of 22, 23%. And Curry, 2 out of 9, 22%. He's got Durant on the list as well. He's 3 out of 14. Buzzer-beating walk-off shots.
Durant's 3 for 14.
Yes.
Oof.
Buzzer-beating walk-off shots. Not a great case to be made for my guy Durant on the Celtics. Buzzer-beating walk-off winning shots in the postseason. LeBron, 5. Jordan, 3. Kobe, 1. Curry and Durant, 0. So maybe we don't give LeBron...
Kobe, 1?
1 walk-off buzzer-beating playoff victory. Wow. Not regular season, but one in the postseason.
This is a lot of playoff games.
This is these stats, the walk-off are all mm-hmm. postseason.
So, and I just build that up to illustrate. A lot of people say, well, Jordan was a killer and Kobe was a killer, and this is something right. that Ryan was saying earlier, and I agree. Kobe was. We might shortchange LeBron a little bit in that regard.
Can
and that's what those numbers
can
would
Can we go
up.
To Kevin? Because I think I'm going to like his call.
Yes, let's go to Kevin in Quincy. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going? I think the main difference between Jordan and LeBron is not teammates or anything like that or competition. I think it's the rules. I mean, Michael Jordan got his behind whooped by the Pistons
and some of
the other bigger East. Yeah, and they had to change the rules because he was getting destroyed and they wanted to showcase their best player. Jordan's better at 6-0. He never even went to a game 7 in the finals. To me, LeBron will always be the second best, but he can't catch him. No way.
Okay. So, I look, as long as
LeBron would have had real trouble with Bill Laimbeer, too.
I just think acknowledging LeBron is 2 is growth for a lot of people, especially here in this city. Because I don't think as of 3, 4, 5 years ago, LeBron was 2. I don't think. I mean, Ryan still doesn't have him 2.
No, I got a Laker at number 2. I mean, Jesus, I'm born and raised here. I got a Los Angeles Lakers, the number 2 player all
time. I feel
time.
Like as of like 3 or 4 years ago, Celtics fans were like, yeah, Bird was better. And just Bird was just not better than LeBron.
Look, if you want to take those calls, I'm sure you can ask for them. They will come in.
Well, I think a lot, I'm not saying it's uniform, but I think a lot of people now realize that it is Jordan or LeBron. And it is Jordan or LeBron.
I think people have been saying this for at least 10 to 12 years, but it's just...
I think it's really changed in the last couple here anyway.
It. Yeah.
I've been hearing it in the streets. I've been hearing it everywhere. You know, I go down and people shout at me.
I can't
like, Jordan
speak to
or LeBron, and I'm like, please, not now. I'm trying to have dinner.
I can't speak to what people are talking about on the streets of Maryland or, up and down GW's campus. I don't know what I can speak to there. But I do think there's been a shift here where now there's at least an acknowledgement that, hey, that is one end.
Do you think part of it is because he's considered less of a threat, even being out there as a Laker?
I wonder if some of it is that he's in the Western Conference because
he is
less of a threat. Yes.
Doesn't he feel less relevant to what's going on with the Celtics?
You don't have
Celtics?
To go through him. You don't have to deal with him.
It'd be so different if it was
games
like...
Games are on late.
Yeah, I mean...
It'd be so different if it was even like Kobe
if LeBron,
around the second big three here with KG and Pierce and Ray Allen. If you were seeing him in two different championships, I think there would be a lot more negativity and a lot less acceptance about LeBron as number
two. If LeBron were in the conference, maybe there would be less of a refusal, or more of a refusal, rather, less of an acceptance for LeBron as the number two there.
Instead, but it's good for him.
Yeah,
let him have it.
Maybe that is part of it. Maybe that is some why it shifted, going to the Lakers. But I still don't care about that scoring record. I don't. And I think Arkan tying it into Bill Belichick and the wins record is a great way to look at it.
I think it's weird how Arkan came in and he ripped his shirt open and he had the number just written in body paint on his chest.
I admittedly wasn't doing a great job listening, earlier.
This is Bronny's day.
But I could have sworn Arkan was kind of mocking LeBron setting the scoring record, and now all of a sudden he really cares about it. I could have sworn he was mocking the Lakers being down the Western Conference and everything else, but okay. I should have done a better job listening. My mistake.
I'm retiring number six up into the rafters at my house.
617-779-7937. Are there any records we care about? Is there anything that we do care about?
You want me to put myself out there again?
Yes, if you could.
This is such an embarrassing one. Like, I know this is a bad take, but I'm just being honest. I can't lie to you guys. I care about all-time three-point shots made. And I know
which
you're
the record
smiling.
Is the record is what again?
3302 Steph Curry.
And it'll change tonight
it's
when Curry hits five
again.
Threes. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to keep going up. But right now, if anyone asks you in the street, say it's 3302. It's Steph Curry. Ray Allen's behind him. He's not even at 3000. So Steph's going to have this record, I think, for a while, unless you get another super freak out there who can. Because I think Steph's going to have some. What's the word? Longevity. Longevity.
Yes.
I see it in my mind's eye, and I'm like, that's not how you pronounce
it. No, you got it.
Because of his little size and everything. Like, he's going to keep playing for a while, right? Uh-huh. I think it's going to be a hard record to chase.
Arkan, you ended up settling on what?
Jerry Rice. His receiving yards record is just, it's so far up there. There's nobody who's active right now is even close. Larry Fitzgerald came within about 5,000 yards before he retired. Rice is just, it's one of those ridiculous records that I feel like it's hard to touch. And I like records like that.
The one I like about Rice is that, again, he is, in his own stratosphere. Like, there's the debate for the second best wide receiver is
like
the
Gretzky.
Debate you have. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is a lot like Gretzky. It's like, it's Rice up here, and then who's the number two wide receiver? I don't really think about Fitzgerald when we were talking about receivers earlier, but I would say it's Moss or T.O. for my own money.
But wait, really quick.
Yeah.
You don't think that there's any possibility that people will look back and say, well, that was the best shooter ever with my record? That shows Curry is the best shooter ever.
People probably already say that. But
along
yes.
with like Ray Allen, Reggie Miller.
But I think to our point about the scoring record, I don't think he needed that record to be considered the greatest shooter of all time. But maybe we can revisit this after we check in with, and you hear the music, Brian Scalabrine, who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, bringing people together around the joys of food, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Scal joins us, as we mentioned, on the Harbor One Hotline. We're a little down, at least Mego and myself, Scal, on the scoring record for LeBron. Did that change anything for you last night? How do you feel about LeBron setting the scoring record?
Yeah, I'm not one of those guys. I mean, it's a longevity record, just like John Stockton's assist record is a longevity record, which is, by the way, in today's day and age where guys get hurt, guys sit out, seasons, load management, all that stuff. Like, I give him all the credit in the world for being out there and playing all these games, all these minutes. But, all those all-time records are all longevity records. So but it doesn't mean now, like the greatest player of all time is Michael Jordan to me. If I don't feel like I'm a LeBron hater. I think he's the second best player of all time, just because he scored the most, more than Kareem. That makes him the greatest player. Like, I kind of judge those elite, like, all-time great Mount Rushmore players based off of championships.
Scal, we are under 24 hours away from the trade deadline, so are you hearing anything? Is there any buzz about a big move, or should we expect a little bit more tweaking, if anything, with this roster?
Well, when I do these things, I only give you what my opinion is, and I think you guys know I'm, all in on Jakob Poeltl. I would take Naz Reid, but I think we need a big. I think we need a big for this year. I think we need a big for next year. And I think it's a little bit different than probably the way that most people see it. Like, I'm I think that to win in the playoffs, it's a physical game. It's a aggressive game. It's one in the paint. It's one in the restricted area. So I would love for the Celtics to go out there, you know, maybe trade a first round pick, maybe a player, and going out there and getting a big. I don't know if they'll do that. There might be a little bit of divide of what the Celtics think they need or want or whatever it is. So we'll find out if they do it. But if I'd be ecstatic if they could add a little bit more size to, you know, kind of bridge the gap between now and the playoffs, or bridge the gap between now and when we face, like tonight we're facing a Joel Embiid in the playoffs, or a Giannis Antetokounmpo in the playoffs, or even like a Nikola Jokic in the playoffs. So that's where I stand on all this. But, you know, I'm not the one that writes the luxury tax bill, and I'm not the one that has to put him in the game and figure out ways to play him and make him whoever you go out there and get, and make it valuable for the person writing the check of the luxury tax bill.
Scal, it's easy for us to talk about guys to trade and people to bring in and stuff like that, but one thing we're not as up to speed on maybe as you are is the chemistry in the locker room. We talk about, you know, how this team has a lot of point guards. Would moving, obviously Marcus Smart's a huge piece of this team and a huge part of the makeup and the chemistry. The other three, though, Brogdon, White, Peyton Pritchard, is there any sort of fear that if you move on from one of those guys, it may disrupt the locker room too much?
I mean, I can, first of all, the Brogdon, White, Smart, like none of those guys with the team, the way that they're playing right now, should be traded. I mean, the conversation is Peyton Pritchard. Should Peyton Pritchard be traded? I don't know. It depends on how you feel. Like, Peyton Pritchard is valuable to this team. He's won some games for this team. Peyton Pritchard deserves, as well as he's played in his career, he deserves an opportunity to play and show the league what he can do. You know, there is a business aspect of this, as you guys probably figured out with Kyrie just the other day. So, you know, like, do I think Peyton Pritchard can help this team? Yeah. Do I think it's probably better for Peyton Pritchard to play on another team and get an opportunity to play and maybe, you know, make some noise in the playoffs as a rotational player? Yeah. And will Peyton Pritchard being traded mess up the locker room? I don't think so, because I think that everybody on this team would respect the fact that the Brad Stevens and the coaching staff or whoever decided, you know, we're going to do what's right for Peyton, which is give him a chance so he can go out there and do the best for himself and his family. So I know, like, players use that term all the time, and, you know, it's like the difference between $20 million and $25 million, but if Peyton Pritchard goes to a different team, his trajectory of his life earnings, basketball earnings, could change dramatically based off how he would play in the next X amount of months in the next for whatever team he's on.
Scal, I'm curious, what's different about broadcasting a game with Mike Gorman versus Sean Grandy? How does that change for you? I want to know what the difference is working with those two, because I've been a part of some Grandy broadcasts in the past. And there's not a lot of words you can get in edgewise there. So what's the difference in those two?
Yeah, you gotta, like, Mike Gorman is orchestra, like, he makes music and he pauses and he does that, right?
Grandy's auto-tune. Grandy,
well, no, you gotta jump in there. And he'll, by the way, he's got a great break. Like, if you ever notice, like, he could be into his thing and he'll stop if not just me, anybody. Like, I haven't heard a lot of Max. I'm always on TV, so I'm not listening to the radio. But, like, one thing about Grandy, like, I had to learn this after the third game. You have to elbow your way in there. Like,
oh, yeah.
Grandy is going to do his thing. You got to get in there and do your thing with him. And it just takes a little bit of time. Mike is the opposite of that. Mike just lets the game unfold, and the viewer, you know, you guys are obviously really smart. If you're watching the game, you know, like, the ball is crashing over half court. So it's just a different feel. And at first I was a little taken back by it, but I think it was the Toronto game. You know, like, I just took an extra two shots of espresso, went in there, and was like, you know what, I'm going to carve out my own space. And nice. I think the Toronto game was amazing. And I think since then, and it had nothing to do with Sean. Sean didn't change. It was me. I had to be, like, more aggressive, and I had to jump in there more than when I do it with Mike Gorman. And Mike Gorman is just talking and letting the game kind of dictate and unfold. And he would give you a lot of space to get in there and talk. It's just different, which is not bad, by the way.
There you go. We're talking to Brian Scalabrine. Scal, you said something the other day after Kyrie was traded. I'm wondering if you've evolved on this thought, or if you're digging down deeper, putting your foot down on this. that the Nets are in a better position now without Kyrie, with Spencer Dinwiddie, than they were before the trade in order to make a run at the championship. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, as long as Kevin Durant's happy, of course. Like, I have only been consistent. I don't know how long you guys have listened to me talk on radio hits or done these radio hits. The playoffs, like, it's a big, strong, physical, versatile game. The more guys you have at guarding, like guarding Jalen, Jason, Giannis, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, you know, the best of the best, or even like a James Harden, or, you know, if you get a guy that could switch onto a Joel Embiid for a second, the better off you're going to be. Kyrie, it was not going to be that. And I, now, listen, it's just the way that I look at basketball, and I get it. Like, in 2016, the league was a lot different. There was less switching going on. You had more double big lineups, more traditional. You can dance around small guys because, like, not everyone had crazy amounts of skill. But the way the game is played right now, you better be versatile. And if you, as a coach, have to coach around one guy defensively, that dude better be able to drop 35 or 40 points nightly, not once in a while. So if Kevin Durant is all in on this, yes, the Brooklyn Nets are bigger. They just match up with the Celtics better now than they did when they had Kyrie on the team. And if 10 wins in a row doesn't explain that to people, and they're still enamored by Kyrie's handle, which is sick, I get it, then, you know, like, then you just see playoff basketball differently than I see playoff basketball.
All right, well, we'll agree to disagree on that. But if Cam Thomas keeps putting up 40 points a night, maybe okay. I got to rethink it. He is Brian Scalabrine.
Hold on.
What?
You think that with Kyrie Irving,
the Nets are better? Yes.
Do you think they have a better chance of beating the Celtics with him or without him?
With.
Oh my God! All right, then we differ.
We do. I mean, they only beat him 2 years ago in the playoffs with Kyrie Irving. But yes,
I do feel that way. Yeah. Oh my God.
Why can't you count that?
Kyrie made a big shot in 2016. We're going to still say, like, he's dangerous? That was eight years ago.
It was only 2 years ago he came in and stomped on the logo, but that's okay. He just beat them. I think they have a better chance with Kyrie.
Hasn't won since then.
No, he has not won since then. That's true. Scal, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, sounds good. See ya.
All right, Brian Scalabrine, as all our guests, joins us on the Harbor One
Hotline. I think he's mad at you now. He's not coming back. He's not coming back on.
I'd like to go back and just revisit Scal's commentary when Kyrie was on the Celtics. Maybe I can go back and
I'll talk to him and dig
some of that up. No, I look, maybe I'm wrong.
To his point, that was years and years ago.
I am true. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm at least consistent. I will gamble on talent just about every single
day
of the week.
Can we save that?
Yeah. No. I probably let me rephrase or reiterate. I probably am wrong.
No, I'm using the first one.
But at least I'm consistent. Like, I will wager on talent every single day of the
week.
Unlike
Arcan over here.
If the Nets are better with Dorian Finney-Smith, I mean, I guess we'll see it.
Household name.
I guess we'll see it. I thought the Nets were pretty dangerous with Durant and Kyrie, but you people have mocked me about that for years.
Can we stop cutting into my segment?
That is true. Enough.
It always happens.
Enough guys, right? Enough guy talk going on the radio. There's too much guy talk on the radio. Let's get a woman's perspective, shall we?
Sure.
It's really Megan's turn is what it is. You've been waiting long enough.
Thank God.
To get in there and crowbar
Every
your way
time
in.
Time I get
don't,
to talk.
Don't you like how I accuse Grandy of taking up all the talking time and meanwhile I'm just yammering away? Let's get to Meg-splaining with Megan Onalini next. I will gamble on talent just about every single
Can
day of the
week.
Can we
save that?
Jones and Mego return after this on WEEI.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg-splaining.
Meg-splaining.
So this isn't exactly an original thought, but I need to talk about it.
Well, I'll give you credit for yesterday, because that was definitely an original thought. I was unprepared
yesterday
for
was weird.
Our sky tunnel conversation.
This one's a little more down to earth.
But okay, this isn't not the most original. Okay, good.
So we've been talking about LeBron reaching his all-time points record for the NBA. And I'm sure you guys saw the shot that's out there, right? The photo of him making the shot.
Oh, yes.
Shot.
Like the still of him shooting?
Did you look in the background of that photo?
I think I know where you're going because I saw your social media earlier today.
I did
today.
Tweet about this.
I did see the background
of the
shot, yes.
is incredibly disappointing. And I don't just say this because they're Lakers fans. If you haven't seen this photo of LeBron taking the shot, I think there's three people, not including two small children, who don't have their stupid ass phone up in front of their faces trying to take a picture of the shot. And the phone thing has been bad for a while, and we're all guilty of it, I think. Like, even if you think you're good, you're probably not as good at letting go of the phone and putting the phone down as much as you think you are.
Oh, like doom scrolling and stuff like that? I'm just being on the phone. I'm bad at that. I thought you were about to say taking photographs.
Being on the phone all the time. When you're at a sporting event, put your phone away. Like, it's so irritating to me. Unless you're checking bets actively on your phone.
Sure.
Or you're making plans for after the game. But that takes, 15 seconds,
yeah,
maybe. And then you put it away and you watch the game. Like, be a part of what you're in. It's even worse if you go to concerts. Nothing is worse on either side when you're at a concert and some idiot has their phone up and they're trying to record the Red Hot Chili Peppers or whatever in front of you. And then they're going to post it on Instagram on some story, which if you're on Instagram scrolling that, I've never closed anything faster than when I'm looking through and somebody's like,
brah, really? Because I'm like, oh, my God, I've been waiting for the perfect shot of Flea. And here it is. All these years, I was like, oh, my God, I want the right angle of Flea in his underwear.
It's so annoying.
You got the bulge just right. This is the perfect. We've been waiting for it for 30 years, and I finally seen the perfect picture. Thank you.
Here's another thing. The people at the Laker game, unless you're courtside, which most of those people in that photo weren't, your picture's going to suck. Your phone, your camera phone is amazing. It's better than any digital camera any of us had, 15 years ago. That's great. Like, it can do rack focus and everything. It's a great phone. You're going to post this picture or share this picture. People are going to be like, what's that? Oh, okay. I see a bunch of hands. Oh, and then there's LeBron, I guess. Like, good for you. The pictures always suck. You don't have the right kind of lens. You don't have a long lens. You know when you go to a football game
and you see the actual photographers
in vests and they have a long-ass lens that they have like a stand for?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how they get those amazing action shots that then you see that the athletes themselves share on their social media. LeBron's not going to see your photo and be like, wow, Jeff got a great shot.
That's not why people do it, though. They do it to show everybody, hey, I was at the game. Look at me. I'm better than you. I was there.
Brag.
Yes.
Yeah.
Be in the moment. Do you know?
Be present.
Be in the moment.
You wouldn't have taped LeBron's shot. You wouldn't have pulled out your phone and taped that shot.
Absolutely not.
I declare shenanigans.
I promise.
You've been to a basketball game with me. Was I sitting there like, oh, there's
Tatum. You're going to ask me details about that night? Are you kidding me?
Let me get a picture of Tatum there.
I promise I
wouldn't. I don't know how I got home that night.
I will tell you in the last break, what did Megan ask you to do, Arcan?
Take her picture.
Well, I will say that. I mean,
this
I will.
The wonderful Young Game Changer Foundation sent me these Marcus Smart, Wicked Smarts.
I have a box of those too, but I didn't.
Posted a picture of from the game.
They didn't.
On Instagram.
They didn't send me one.
Megan, yes, you did.
Oh, Megan, I thought you were talking to me.
At the game we went to,
very beginning of the game. Ooh. I didn't take a video sitting there like, okay, here it goes.
I remember there was a piece of social media that I was tagged. There was a picture from our seat.
I was trying to do something nice for your birthday to show people that we were friends.
Well, I appreciate it, but now I'm turning it back on you.
So. I just think people need to be in the moment here. Yeah, that's my music.
Got it.
And I had to say this too. Like, going out to dinner with people, I had a group dinner a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
And people were so annoying about their phones that I asked everyone to do the challenge, put your phone in the middle of your table. Have you ever done that?
No, I wouldn't partake either, but
okay.
Go ahead. So how long
put your phone in the middle of the table, whoever picks up their phone first has to pick up the bill.
Oh. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't partake in that. Well, maybe I would. I would win that. I would easily win that,
yeah.
I think.
Nobody, we ended up splitting the bill equal.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Fine.
So what happens if no one picks it up?
People were twitching.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, God, I wonder what's happening on my phone. I don't know. I feel so disconnected. I don't know what to say. Like, looking around, and I'm like, what has happened to people's brains?
Yeah.
How do we function this way? How do we go back? How do we turn it back? We have to turn it back. We can't live in a society like this.
Maybe I'll try that challenge sometime. Maybe for a show outing, we can try that challenge sometime. No phones.
I'd be fine with it.
No phones. Shove it to the middle of the table, and then Arcan will foot the bill. We got Arcan on the hook, I think.
It's creepy to watch. People have muscle memory. They, like, go to their pocket. Oh, where's my phone? Ooh,
let me ask
gotta
you.
Check my phone.
You can't check the time.
No.
I do. That's most of my fidgeting. If you ever see me on Twitch, like, fidgeting,
okay,
that's a lot of what I'm looking at.
Doing a radio show.
I know, but even though there's a clock right there that I could easily look at, I still glance at my phone all the time for time. But I do that it's not even on the radio. I do that all the time at home, or I would do that at dinner. Like, I'm not too bad about looking at Twitter or text or anything like that, but I would be constantly checking the time, being like, how much longer do I have to be here with these people? How much longer am I stuck here at this dinner that I don't really want to be at, that my wife dragged me along to? How much longer is it?
Like, again, doesn't like the outside and doesn't like socializing.
I don't, no.
So I feel like this is less about that. I mean, you have other problems before the phone comes.
Oh, yeah, there's much deeper issues going on than just
anyway,
my cell phone. Yeah.
Next time you go to a Celtics game,
yeah, no,
Bruins
you're a weird
game,
guy.
Whatever.
Right.
Try putting the phone away.
Psychologist,
just enjoy it.
Psychologist Tom Curran.
There's nothing wrong with, hey, take a picture in the stands with your friends.
Sure,
here's
before
me
the game.
In my cool jersey.
So that's allowed.
Or even during the game. Whatever.
Yep.
But to sit there
but
and
that's
it's
kind
like,
of a, but that's kind of, I mean, I understand
the big
arc,
moments of the game.
In
like,
the
this is supposed to be a historic moment that you paid thousands of dollars to go see.
In the Arcan scenario, we're being nice for his birthday, but in general, that's still kind of a braggy thing, right?
What?
To be like, I'm at the game. Check out my jersey.
Yeah.
Check out my
that's
seats.
Fine.
Flexing on you, broke bitch.
Not,
check
as
me
long
out.
As you're not sitting there
that's what people
on
are
the
doing
phone
with,
all the time.
But that's what people were doing with the LeBron game last 100%. Night. Is it the same thing?
That's so dumb. Why wouldn't you want to see it?
Oh, but I'm just telling you, I think both are dumb. I wouldn't go and take pictures at the game. I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Who cares?
Can't wait to make you take pictures at the game.
Who cares? Look at me.
Jones insisted we take this photo for Instagram.
Look at Jones in the 300 level. Wow. You know? Like,
haters are crying right now.
Who cares? Although maybe next time I go to a game, it would be noteworthy that I'm allowed in the Garden or Fenway or something like that. It's been so long since I've been. I don't know. Anyway, that's Meg explaining each and every day at this time. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. We'll start mixing in some more football items. Here's a question for you, Boston. Do you have any Brady fatigue? Is Brady fatigue setting in leading up to the Super Bowl? Plus all your NBA phone calls. Still a lot of LeBron thoughts hanging out. We'll do that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.